Hi, I'm Alice Taylor. I'm the CEO of Makey Lab, and I'm in Gateshead at the Thinking Digital Conference. I've just got off stage talking about 3D printing and all the stuff that we've been doing with it, which is making toys.
First time I saw Makey's pop-up in my feeds was via a link from Bill Thompson, who was desperate, I think, to be one of the first people to sign up. Desperate to get hold of a doll of himself. Quite strange when I think about Bill and his desperation for dolls.
Yeah, we've added beards to the list.
Already I'm more excited than I was a minute ago.
The list of things that we want to build is so long. But yeah, beards, moustaches, we've got kind of fake furs and felts coming in to experiment with those. We've been open alpha for a week and a half. So it's the new closed beta, don't you know?
You having issues with hair?
Say again?
Hair. Yeah. Everything's pretty much made locally.
Yeah, everything. Everything is made in London with the exception of the hair and the eyes. So the eyes come from Spain, where there is still a residual toy industry. I have not been able to find doll or toy eyes that are made in the UK. And the hair comes from China. And as far as we can see, synthetic hair is now only made in China. So if you want wigs of any kind, adult or whatever, you can get wigs made in India and possibly Brazil, but they tend to be out of real hair.
Is there a problem with that?
Sometimes, yeah. It comes off kids.
Indian. Can't we get real hair?
Sometimes people donate their hair. Sometimes people sell their hair. And then sometimes people have their hair taken away from them. So you got to watch out for that. But the synthetic stuff is pretty much this Kanakalon, which I think was definitely invented in Japan, but I think is now manufactured in China. So we have to import that bit. But it's a pretty small, light bit, all things considered.
No, definitely. And trying to bring any kind of production, manufacturing industry into the UK, pretty hard.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are lots of artisanal toy makers still around, but certainly the industry, there are very few European, UK or American companies that do manufacture locally anymore. There's going to be a bit of a renaissance, I think. There's a lovely company, for instance, in California called Green Toys, who make all of their like kind of Tonka truck style toys from recycled milk bottles. They're awesome. But again, they're made locally, so they're twice the price, three times the price of anything made in China.
I thought that by now that kind of 3D printing is hitting the mainstream, that people would be looking at reviewing some of the ridiculous copyright laws we're stuck with. Why is it not even a conversation yet?
Because you can't copyright an object. That's true. You can't copyright an object. A 3D object can't carry copyright. It can carry a trademark. And you can get into sort of all sorts of, but fundamentally a 3D model. So like I'm pretty sure the Coca-Cola bottle, for instance, is trademarked. So you couldn't copy the bottle, you'd get into trademark trouble, but you can get into copyright trouble.
But it's not a bottle if it's solid.
Bottles are solid objects, they're just hollow solid. But
yes, yeah. You know what I mean. So if it was shaped like a Coca-Cola bottle, would you still get done?
Yeah, because you'd be in trademark issues. But copyright apparently, I'm not a scholar on this, but as far as I understand it, so there's a lot of talk about, with 3D models, what about pirating, what about copying, blah blah blah, is it a problem? And the short answer is, of course it's a problem, especially with 3D scanners, handheld ones or the Kinect. Bang, you've got your, certainly solid objects could be copied quite easily. So the answer is designed to be copied. Slightly glib, but you've got to think about that kind of stuff. But yeah, copyright, that's why copyright doesn't come into the conversation, because it doesn't actually apply.
I had a shoe-based epiphany recently when I suddenly realised that I've never in my entire life bought a pair of shoes that weren't ready to wear. And the reason why I use the term ready to wear is because I met a shoemaker, the son of one of the world's most amazing shoemakers, who recently died. And when he explained to me, two things in life aren't a luxury, your bed and your shoes. If you're not in one, you're in the other. You can have a shoddy suit and you look scruffy, but you have a bad pair of shoes, it will affect everything in your life, starting with your health and onwards from there. And I was like, why haven't I never had a pair of shoes made? Because it's quite expensive.
Yeah.
Yet 3D printing and the creation of lasts is a huge part of that process. So I'm hoping that more shoemakers are going to get involved. And he said he's been using 3D printing and laser scanning for the last 15 years.
Yeah. I mean, 3D printing has been, it's been around for at least 20. And the posh term for it is additive manufacturing, but it's been used for rapid prototyping for a really long time. And we're just getting to the point now where actually the finished prototype is in many cases as good as, or nearly as good as, the actual mass-produced object. And where it really comes into its own is when you, in fact, want lots and lots of things that are ever so slightly different. So when you're talking about, say, customized toys or customized shoes or pens or glasses or whatever the hell, then that's where suddenly you can give somebody one thing and somebody something else, whereas with mass-produced stuff, you kind of can't unless you're going to start carving into them or whatever. So that's where they're coming up against each other. And I think there's a lot of people saying that 3D printing is going to replace mass production, which long term, 10 years, it may do, but like in the short term, what it's doing is offering alternative, like just this whole area of manufacture that a person on the street can get into, and B, the ability to make small runs of something personalized. So that's why it's really interesting. Whether or not you'll have actual 3D printed shoes that you wear in the near future, I don't know, because the materials are not massively durable. They're not like, yeah, I mean, leather is incredibly durable. So I'd go back to that lovely cobbler and get a £300 pair of shoes made.
2,000 euros.
Oh, shit.
Takes 10 months. Yeah, I wasn't in town long enough. It was in a back street in Vienna, but it was the lasts. It was the making of lasts. I'd still definitely probably want the leather and the amazing, you know, features that it has. Where can people go to find out what you're doing, especially in the doll world? And what are you hoping for in the next few weeks and months?
So the open alpha is at makie.me, which is makie.me. And you can go there and you can make a doll, action doll, male or female, of something that might sort of look like you, as long as you want it in bone white. So anything you like, as long as it's white. And it's, we say open alpha because it is super early days. I mean, long term, we want skin colour, we want different sizes, we want the ability to interact with a game, a tablet, all of that kind of stuff. Leveling-based achievements and physicals attached to where you've got to in the game. Like, just like tons of kind of really interesting things to do, but right now it's the bare minimum. So you can have a look at it there. What was the second part of the question?
Let me first add that people with minds like you, everything's in alpha forever, I think, because you're always imagining the future.
Yeah.
What do you imagine for the next few weeks or months?
Oh, next few weeks and months. Well, next few weeks and months are definitely... So what we started, we realised that we had to prove out the physical stuff. Like, we had to know whether it can be done. So at the moment, you can make and buy the action doll, but you can't necessarily do that much else other than create the physical. So the next 6 months is building out all the digital side of things. Long term, we've called it Makies because we really want to encourage making and crafting and creating anyway, hands-on tinkering, really feeling like you've built a toy and you get to play with it, and hopefully like making it last longer for the owner as well, right? Because I think that if you've had a hand in the making of something, you feel more attached to it than just some thing that you've bought off a shelf. So we want to encourage that kind of longevity and play and creativity. So with that in mind... God, there's so much. It can go so far.
You're getting loads of exposure at the moment.
Well, yeah. I mean, we got amazing exposure. And we had that weird triple whammy of Wired, US, UK and Japan, which was amazing because lots of Japanese people turned up. And obviously, it's not our site, isn't it? Japanese.
It could become cult quite easily.
Well, so what will happen inevitably, because this always happens, there'll be a bit of a hype cycle. So we'll have a big flurry because it's novelty. And then it'll be the kind of, oh, but I want skin color, or I want big hats, or whatever. And we will have time to grow it. So from our point of view, we did spend a lot of time running around getting investment so that we would have that time to go, okay, well, here it is, but it's only 15% of what we want it to be. And we're now going to spend the next year and a half, 2 years, building it out to what we want it to be. So right now we're in the flurry of, ooh, novelty. And then for beta, we'd like to be in the flurry of, wow, this is for kids. Let's go.
Fantastic. Sounds like people are heading back in. What do you think of Thinking Digital and Gateshead at the moment?
I think this is one of the best curated conferences. It's hard for me to say that because I've just been on stage, but actually today I've seen a talk about weaving data into sculpture, an amazing talk about cyber security, and just the kind of blend. And plus there's like a really nice blend of women and men, and it feels really, really well put together in ways that tech conferences often can feel a bit stale.
So the sentence you didn't finish was, I think this might be one of the best curated conferences you've ever been to?
Yes.